Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Throughout the year of 2017, together, we identified many causes of hopelessness confronting too many in urban America. Much discussion and debate was held, great discussion, might I add. However, we further engage our listening audience in 2018 in transformative dialogue. The host, yours truly, will focus on process, how, rather than description, what, in the interest of actively changing the social plight and the condition of youth and their families who are prone to being victims of urban despair. We're grateful that you've been keeping up with us, and thank you all for joining us on the 2nd and the 4th. I was out traveling, and we were actually working, following up on many of the things that we did. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful that you join us tonight. We hope to engage you in, again, how to. In fact, our topic tonight is moving from what to how in 2018. Discussions about real solutions. Moving from what to how in 2018. Discussions about real solutions. Pastor Ricky Wallace is still with us. We're grateful that he has been with us all year long in 2017, and he's been a great help to us, and he set in for me at the beginning of our episodes in 2018. We're grateful for him and all that he does in his ministry. We look forward to working very, very closely with him in the coming months. The number to give us a call here is 657-383-0944. If you don't know, if you're just tuning in with us, Talk Straight is a podcast format, or platform, I should say, that allows Building Families and Communities Institute to share its national message and its model for helping young people. Particularly on the national level, we have the Crime Intervention Advocacy campaign, and a piece where we're bringing to cities that are laden with certain social ills, specifically for young people. Much of our conversation in 17 focused on African-American males because that's what the data tells us. Now, we're seeing a rise with females and other ethnic groups as well, but still primarily that is our focus group. That being said, as we normally do, we're going to offer a a monologue, and in our monologue, we'll lay out some things and the context for our dialogue tonight in terms of moving forward, moving from, what to how. We know what the problem is. Let's talk about some solutions. And tonight I'm going to talk about that as well. And the rest of this year, it's our endeavor to provide you substantive information about how, what you can do, the process by which we move forward and we get better. And I will be sharing with you, I'll be returning to Columbus, Mississippi, yet again to begin our work directly with the police department as well as with that local community. And then the other cities that we have lined up, we'll be sharing that information with you. So you will have real-time case studies that will help you focus and help me focus on how we can fix this problem across urban America. All right, 657-383-0944 is the number that you can call us. If you're listening on Facebook, thank you for watching us live here and participating. Feel free to give us a call. We would love to entertain your question, your comment. All we ask is that you keep it relevant and that we be respectful to one another as opinions are shared and information is offered during the broadcast. All right. With that being said, we will go ahead, and begin our monologue. Moving from what to how in 2018 is our topic, discussions about real solutions. The text in Proverbs, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 3 reads, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Perhaps the most fearful aspect of making an adjustment is moving from a familiar, comfortable, and stable position. When you say to someone who is used to being stagnated, you have an opportunity for more and to move forward and to go beyond where you are. There is an internal urge to question the proposition of a new position or a new place in existence. With the question comes concerns for the price of making such a move. Moreover, the risk involved in losing what you already got. It's kind of like a man that's afraid to open his hand because he's going to lose some, but he can't take anything in because he's afraid to move forward. If there is no example, no support, or tangible proof that you would benefit from making such a move, the suggestion of change in your position as a matter of self-preservation for many represents a threat. Can't do that. Now, it's easy for someone to say, and we hear this all the time, "Hey, you should and you could," but in the absence of knowledge and understanding, it is a reasonable position to take to turn a blind eye to such prompts without that information and that support. To acquire understanding of the concept, one must know and understand how it works, you see. The word "how" relates to process, which is a series of actions or steps that are taken in order to achieve a specific end. In other words, you got to think about that thing. You got to be deliberate and focused. What those who are born into dire poverty, and I'm talking about myself, social degradation, and are conditioned to see themselves and to act aptly, helplessly. What they know best is how to stand still to avoid opportunity and to make sure that they minimize the threat of making a change by either playing blind, crippled, or crazy. They do that well. They know how to do that. The argument is made, though, by many who say they want to help, they want to support. People know better than to rob people, than to kill, and to do the things that they do that hurt themselves and other people and put them in these precarious situations. They know better than that. Well, there's an element of truth to that argument. However, you should realize and consider that the reality is subconsciously, in the back of the mind, I've survived this long with the way I've gotten down, and I'm not going to let anybody take me away from what I know works for me. That's just how I maintain myself. Now, briefly, I'd like to share with you a case study, and then we'll open up our phone lines to discussion. Population distribution. In 1985, and I'm going to describe this subgroup of people in America, and you tell me if you know who it is. Their group represented 11.8% of the American population at 26,482,349. The latest estimate by 2015, and it's estimated to be around the same amount now, is 13.2% at 41,729,006 people. Their class status, okay, is such. This subgroup has been classified 5 times in America. Their current social identification implies that they have the benefit of dual citizenship in the African continent as well as in America. However, the vast majority have never left urban America. And in fact, many of them are afraid, hesitant to even consider going to visit Africa. Worse, too many have become convinced in their minds that they lack the rights and privileges of American citizenship. And thus, they're nomads in the world. Let's talk about the mentality and the violent tendencies of this group. Collectively, many of this present generation in this subgroup tend to be anxious. They tend to be aggressive and paranoid, thinking something or somebody is after them or trying to take something away from them. This happens in their environment, in their urban environment, quite often. Those considered most at risk see their future as a mystery at best, mystical for them. Can't clearly tell you 10 years from now, where do I see myself? Apparent alienation in the workforce, in educational pursuits, and even the idea of the American dream causes many of them to respond to social conflict with these out of violence and physical confrontation. Tragically, the violence is perpetrated against those who look like them and who live in the same physical location as they do. Now, I'm going to go ahead and go to the phone lines here. The number is 657-383-0944. Give us a call here. Look like we got Pastor Waller here with us, and 615-3072. Good evening, and how are you all doing this evening?
All right,
Pastor Nakri.
All right, I'm
how sorry, you doing?
Wonderful, man. Wonderful. 30. Glad to have you. 372. How are you?
Right.
I'm good. Good. How are you guys?
Good. Great. Great.
Doing
great,
all
great.
Right.
Happy New Year's to both of you, and I hope you got great mm-hmm. things planned. We're gonna all go up just a little bit higher.
Watch.
Yeah, Let me do this, guys, before I ask you to respond to the monologue. Y'all, do y'all know who Johnny Taylor is?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Johnny Taylor has a very inspirational, I believe, message, and I think it's important that we know that no matter what has happened in the past, as we move forward, we believe in one another. We believe in our own salvation, our own relief, and our own progress. Okay. Give me just a second here, and let's see what Johnny Taylor has to say.
All right.
I feel sorry. Outstanding thing. You know, I would have someone who believes in me who wants to help me.
That's right.
You know, help myself.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
What a believer
that's
would
right.
do.
You know, Pastor, I don't mean to cut you off, but man, you're telling the truth. What causes many people to back up and not bust a move is the fear that I can't do it and I ain't got nobody to really believe in me. I don't believe in me, and not too many people I know believe in me either. So I'm gonna just stay right where I am. That's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it is. I'll agree.
Yes, sir. Let me ask 3072. What do you think about the 3072? Kind of foolish. You heard my monologue. How does that relate to this idea of moving from what we know what the problem is? How do we do this thing? 3072.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Okay, we can't hear you now. Are you talking directly in your phone?
I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes, go
ahead.
Okay.
All right. I think you just have to have some self-belief, as the pastor stated. Let me apologize in advance. I don't get really good reception where I am, so if I cut in and out, y'all just go on.
Okay. Well, man. All right. Well, we're
pretty.
You know what? You're vital. Your voice is vital here. But now tell me what. So you heard the monologue. What do you think? Where do we go wrong there, 3072?
Well, I mean, trying to tear somebody else down because that other person don't have a dream. I mean, obviously, we need to try to help other people to dream. I mean, the dream first to start to even try to take a step forward. They need a dream first.
Okay. There are a few questions that I'd like to try to cover tonight before we finish. And let me just introduce the first one to you. And this is related to the information in the monologue that we shared. I'm convinced that there are a lot of good people that have the potential and the wherewithal. They just don't have the confidence. And we know what the problem is with young people, don't we, Pastor Waller?
Yeah, without a doubt.
And Pastor, also, correct me when I'm wrong, Pastor. Also, people say we need to stop and study and figure out what that solution is. Is that true, Pastor?
Need to stop and study? I mean, you know, with being young,
right,
being
right.
young once upon a time, I mean, it's not hard to study something that you really actually have a witness in. I was young, and I understand what it means to not have the knowledge and the wisdom or neither the understanding of the way you should go. You know, you're just
right.
going for what you know. And,
right.
you know, so why have information and withhold it from one and sit back and watch them go through the same thing without reaching out to them? So, yeah, it's something that they deserve. They deserve information. If you don't mind me saying this, you know, Psalm 6:1, you know, states that God is our refuge and strength,
That's very right.
present help in evil. That to me sounds like if I just believe that he's very present, then he can help me help myself.
Okay.
And after I've been, just like 3072 said, that once you get information on how to do a certain thing, maybe there's someone else that's possibly still doing the same thing that you used to do, and you should be able to give them a hand and at least extend it to them to let them know that you're concerned. You know, it's amazing. There's so much work to be done, man. And it's just like, what are you passing down? What kind of example are you? And I just like to say, to be a good example, you have to have some good information.
All right. So here's the question. Here's the question that we want to pose. What causes the best of people? There's some good people. I run into a lot of them. Not to follow through on useful information. Now, when we talk about how, when we talk about the process of making a difference, making a change, it's important that you, the Bible said, he that get and all that get and get an understanding. Is that right? It's important that you come to understand. So people have got to be real with you, okay? So I'm asking the question, what causes the best of people, do you think? And let's talk about that for the next few minutes here. Not to act on useful information. Do you mind if I go to 3072 for a second?
Go ahead. You deserve that.
All
yes,
right.
sir.
3072, did you hear the question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Would you like to?
I mean, I think it's a number of different circumstances even that maybe some of the best the people don't have quite the advantage as somebody else even. I mean, so they're just deterred by that even. I mean, and again, a dream can be lost, you know. I don't have that hand or that foot.
Okay. All right. Pastor, you wanna tackle that?
Yeah, I mean, I like the way she put that and to elaborate on, you know, what you had in the monologue earlier. I know you utilize the scripture. And, you know, what I think about that is preparation. You know, when you said preparation of the heart in man,
right.
and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Because
right.
this is what happened when you don't know the Lord, and that's what I use. I use me being young and not knowing any better.
Sure.
And then look at this situation according to verse 2, as you said in chapter 16 of the book of Proverbs. He says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own heart, in his own eyes.
And his,
I mean, could you imagine? But the ways of spirit. So
right.
if everything is like, you know, hey, what I'm doing, it's valuable. That's
right.
in my own eyes, my own heart. But the Lord weighs the spirit. In other words, he know your heart. And what talk is very cheap. And that's what I love about the Lord is that he would allow me to say everything that I have to say, but at the end of what I say, he's going to weigh it up. And then the value of it is that it, and how it weighs up, you know, you cannot fool him. So
right.
is you are you being a humble person? Are you being arrogant? Are you? So those are some of the things that I have to always consider, because I know he don't care for a person who's arrogant. I know he really don't care for that. You see what I'm saying? So I always remember at all times, stay humble. No matter what you're doing, make sure you stay humble. And it's a challenge, man. You know, life would deal you a hand, and if you don't know the Lord, and I'm using myself as an example, I'm picking up a hand. It's a losing hand, but it doesn't look like it. And that reminds me of verse 2, the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit, the motives. And so it's a beautiful thing. I just like to say, I'm so glad he weighs up everything I do every day. And he knows that I don't trust me. The number one thing I don't do each and every day, 30-72 and pass the doctor, I refuse to trust me. Because I know he's going to weigh it up. Whatever I do, he weigh it up. Good, bad, right, wrong, whether I like it or not, he's going to weigh it up. And that's been going on for 25 years. And I would say this, I'm going to turn it back over. Somebody would say, how can you not trust yourself for 25 years? I can do it. I've learned how to do that. I have that understanding, as you said earlier. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get understanding. I understand why I don't trust me today. Because I've been a fool for so long. Why do you want to start trusting me? So that's where it is with me, man. And I thank God for what you're talking about. Just wanted to share that right there, because it's a good thing that you utilize that scripture, that he'll weigh it up on you, man.
The truth is that before you, me, or anybody else make a move, we all know where we're going. And that is the critical thing. How? The first step is to consider what is before you. Sometimes, though, people can't be honest with themselves about where they are and where they come from. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wake up in the morning and my eyes are matted, my head is nappy, and my face got sleep on it. It got slob on it. I don't mean to be graphic, but let me talk to somebody for a minute. I don't need me going out with my stanky breath. Come on, talk to me now. And expecting others going to just accept what they see and not have an opinion about it, not have a matter or concern with it. Are y'all walking with me? Now, the truth of the matter is, I realize I just got up. And there is a process by which when you get up in the morning, you should prepare yourself for what? Social interaction with others. Did y'all hear what I just said? Now, let me relate that. Let me relate that to what happens when you're in poverty. If you're poor, you can blame every and anybody you want to, even the devil. But at the end of the day, if you don't find the knowledge and to weigh that knowledge out with experience, right, and you don't act on that information, you'll find yourself still in poverty. The truth of the matter is, if you don't have it, seek it out. Find it. The Bible said, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open. Ask and it shall be given.
Yeah.
You got to put some work in. That's all I'm trying to say, people. You got to put your work in. If you're not willing to put your work in and to contribute to yourself, you're going to be in a rather stagnant position. Now, we talking about moving from what the problem is now. Go ahead, 37-2. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I mean, with all that you just said, I mean, I do that totally. I'm not going to go out anywhere looking disheveled and people knowing I just got out of bed and my car and went somewhere. however, it's funny in our community. So when we do take that extra minute and we do brush our teeth and we do put on a nice dress or a nice suit, and we come correct. We come using proper grammar, English. You know, we even come with positive conversation to, like you said, those poor, impoverished people. And we're trying to share something.
Right.
I'll give you a perfect example. at work this week, there was a man came in. He was in a car wreck. He got hit by another driver that the police was chasing. So I was feeling so terrible for this man, like, oh, that is horrible. You know, I am so sorry to hear that. And the police was chasing him, and what, why? You know, the man went on to take up to say that the police was wrong, for one, for chasing the boy because he's in a stolen car. And then the boy got out the car, and the police was for it. I'm looking like, okay, I just stop the conversation. You know, his what minded world we live in today. How, I mean, granted, well, the police just shouldn't start shooting at people. That boy shouldn't have stolen the car.
Right.
He shouldn't have driving too, and he should keep the car running. So whatever, you know, happens from that point is on you. You brought all that on. You can't expect somebody else just to do right when you're doing wrong. And that's the stumbling block. That's what holds us back. There's probably plenty of people that want to take people in. But when you got idiots and this poor man, you are a grown man with gray hairs. You don't know better than that.
What?
I'm like, wow, I just stopped the conversation. You know, I didn't want to, he's my patient, so whatever he thinks. But I'm thinking to myself, what an ignorant thought. That's sad. I hope he don't have children that he's teaching.
May I weigh in on that 37?
go ahead. Wow. I'm like, wow.
You laid it out. Now, so your premise is right on spot. And that is, while you may not have had certain opportunities, you're not a rich man, okay? You can't just afford to go out and do what you want to. You still don't have to act like you're crazy and break the law. And then expect that there will be no consequences. See, what happens often is we make excuses for our helplessness. In fact,
My point is, it's shifted on you when you have the right knowledge of that situation.
That's
when you know what should be happening.
You're
the outcast, and you should be thrown, took to jail for just to death.
Well, I would argue, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here, 3072. And I'm going to argue that in his time, like many other people, well, America's crooked. And they wrong, and I just got to survive. I had to drive that car. I had to do what I was doing. I wasn't going to let them catch me because I didn't want to go to jail, blah, 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 right? The truth of the matter is if you're enough to make a case to do what is counterproductive and obviously led you to that hospital, and I'm sure he went to jail after he left the hospital. I would imagine that.
This is the sad – hold on. You're getting it wrong. This is the sad part.
Correct.
This man, this was an innocent man that was hit by this incident going on.
Oh, I see.
Right.
He was right. Now, his motive was happy. He was going to sue the police.
Can you say that again?
Okay, let me make sure I understand. Hold on 1 second, 3072. What I'm hearing you say, 3072, is the victim here, the innocent man, wants to sue the police. Because he was caught up in this situation, no fault of his own. Yeah. And he may have a right to sue the police, but if you go to court and the court found that the officers were acting within their scope of authority, he may not have much of a loss. I hope he wouldn't be terribly upset at that.
Well, he will be, because it seemed like, and he was glorifying the fact that, you know, the police was wrong, and that boy, I'm thinking, like, you could have been killed or paralyzed. How are you even going, I'm like, oh, okay. I just left it alone, but that's crazy. Yeah, you are a victim, and you sitting up here trying to uphold and support criminal crime.
Okay, all right. So he was suggesting that the perpetrator, of the crime was in his right to commit the crime, which led to his demise. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. That's sick and sad, I guess.
It's a culture. 3072, it's a whole way of life for some people to make excuses for things that, in their mind, it ain't wrong. It's not wrong. But when we try to place ourselves, again, in my analogy, with other people, it's just disrespectful to yourself and others for you to come in such a vile and offensive way. Now, if you don't know, that's one thing. But there are many people who know, but they've justified their actions by saying, this is who we are, that's how we get down, and that's what we do. If you want to make a change, though, in 2018, if you want to get better, you want to improve your life economically and socially, there is a process that works for every and anybody, whether you Asian, Hispanic, African-American, white, German, whatever you want to be, whatever your ethnicity is, it'll work for you if you apply those principles. That's the point that we're trying to draw home, bring home.
So yeah. My question to you, with that being of the problem, like you're saying, reaching people and helping them to, like, explore their dreams or even have dreams.
Your voice kind of broke up. Say that one more time. Repeat yourself, please, because you did break up on us.
Yeah, you're going in and out. Going in and out.
My question to you, can y'all hear me now?
Yes, keep going.
Hello?
We'll stop you. We can't hear you.
Okay.
Keep
the question. The question to you guys were, okay, so how do you get to those people with their warped sense of thinking?
I'm so glad you asked me that.
I mean, because
this
when person
it comes,
really.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
He really, honestly, it looked like he was stating what he thought was a true case. And like I told you, I'm always trying to find ways to minister, trying to just say something positive, trying to uplift. But seeing his conviction and what he was saying, which was totally wrong, I left that on. And two, honestly, I was back.
Okay.
Do what
okay.
I need to do and get out of his room.
I guess.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Okay.
Now, let me
ask
be
you something. Go ahead,
Pastor. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
I was going to ask her a question about was he physically hurt or anything like that? Or was he talking out of his mind? Or, you know, because it sounded like. He really wasn't physically hurt. So his thoughts.
No, he had. I'm going to die. But.
It didn't sit well with you. I know that. I can tell that.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like. As if he had known injuries and trying to be a little extra careful and to make a case to sue, pretty much is what I picked up on.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm using the
reason. Sounds like he's one of those who live his life to find somebody that he can get over a quick, make a quick buck off, in this case, the police. Let me respond to your question, 3072. There are many of I read to you the description of, in that case study, a subgroup of people. Did you all conclude who you thought that might be?
Yeah,
in America?
It had to be us, African American.
now I asked that question that way because I want you to see how it's the behaviors and it's the mentality that identifies certain groups of people. Now, everybody that's African American don't think like that. Everybody that's African American or black don't look for easy ways out. Don't look for the quick fix. But there are many who do. And the truth of the matter is, you're suffering not because you're black, but because of your mindset. The best thing you can do for this brother is to tell him the truth, because the truth is going to make him free. And that is, I understood you to say, it sounded like he was well over 30 years old. Is that correct? 37?
Oh, yeah. He had gray hairs in his beard.
Okay.
Yes.
So what he needs to do is, we need to say to him like Jesus said to Nicodemus, brother, you got to be born again. Because you ain't going to go nowhere fast. Huh?
Well,
yeah,
amazing.
As old as you are, the best you know how to do is to come up with a quick hustle to make money through a suit. Here you are, victim.
Yeah.
Here you are, victim, and you're going to encourage some young cat to be out of order. What if you died and he killed somebody
right.
else?
Yeah.
But we got to
yeah,
be honest
well,
with
back.
Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it goes back to the motive. Yeah, it goes back to the motives, you know what I mean? And as she was saying, you know, she discovered the motives wasn't appropriately being presented. And that's what she was able to detect. Because as she said, she's always looking for time to minister, to share positive things to one. And surely you would think in his case that he needed some positive information.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, and I think he's coming from. And so when I look at the scripture that you utilized earlier, man, it just reminded me, Pastor, that, you know, the Lord weighs up a person's motive, you know, when he, in that way, you know, he may not know the word of God, and then again, he could know the word of God. And if you're not thinking fast enough, you know, the enemy can creep in and have your thoughts twisted. And
sure.
that's why it's so good to be aware, you know what I mean? And you can be knocked off your own steadfastness by a small piece of paper that carries a lot of weight and talking about money. And sometimes things like that can cause you to think, oh, I can get some money right here. And it goes
right.
back to all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs
yeah.
the spirit. Man, that's
hey.
Amazing. So I have to be mindful of that. And but 37:2, she is something else, man, because she just gave me a chance to think about something. And, Pastor, I'm going to say this. I'm going to turn it right back over, if you will.
Okay, all right.
Had it not been for the knowledge of knowing that scripture years ago, I believe that the enemy would have encouraged me to go do a particular thing because I can stand it right about now because I can do a whole lot more for the kingdom. That's my mentality of thinking. I can get me a lot of money and help a lot of people. But it was stripped me from being able to hold fast and be patient and have faith and wait upon the Lord, as Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. See, God said, I can do more with you being honest with me than I could you trying to get around, you know, where go to the shortcut and things like that. So, yeah, that was beautiful. I needed to hear that. As long as a person knows that the Lord is going to weigh up whatever you do, man, that right there keep you, you know, in check because it has kept
right.
me in check for some years. You see what I'm saying? Not to step out of the lineup and let the enemy trick me, you know what I mean, into going to doing something when the Lord is going to weigh it up every day, what I do, every day. He weigh up
right.
everything
yeah.
that I do. And I'm not saying that I have apprehended it all, but there are some things that I have accomplished. In other words,
okay.
that I have left behind. That's no longer mine. You know what I mean? Selling drugs, that's over. But the enemy
okay.
can always kind of throw shots and make it seem like nobody's going to know. But tonight, we just heard that the Lord is going to weigh it up, right? Thank you, 37:2. She's amazing, man. I'm telling you.
You got it.
That man came in there. She was ready to minister to him. She was joyfully ready to just extend some great information to him. And then he started to share some things that kind of gave her a bad taste. You know what I mean? And I heard your pastor doctor tell us, okay, even in times like that, still go ahead and speak truth because the truth is what makes us free. You know?
Right.
Yeah, that's that, that was a good opportunity.
Hey, 37:2. 37:2.
Yeah.
Don't lose your thought, please. Let me slide this break in here, and then we'll come right back with you, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you and very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Talk Straight, the number 657-383-0944. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, and we're on live with 3072 out of the 615 area code. Give us a call here. We would love to entertain your question or comment. Let me stop and say thank you to our Facebook friends who are possibly following us here, to all of you. I want to encourage you and invite you again to give us a call here and share with us your thoughts, your ideas. We very much want to hear. And you don't necessarily have to give your name. Just share us what your thoughts are or send me a message in the Facebook page there. But, again, thank you. So we go right back to 3072, who was going to share a thought with us there before we went to our break. Go ahead, 3072.
No, I was just saying that sometimes we have to choose, you know, our battles wisely. I had to remember that I was at work, for one.
Right.
And two,
exactly.
Again, the sad part of this was, you know, some of those people, like in the instance of this man, is not there. You cannot even, you can't tell them nothing good that they're going to listen to, that they going to take heed to or adhere to. They already have the seed, the negative seed is just like embedded, it's implanted. It's like,
sure,
you wrong. I'm the one wrong to suggest that nobody should steal cards, that, you know, I'm wrong for all of that.
Right.
So
and,
I'm like,
and,
wow.
And I don't mean to be rude,
okay,
but that really leads into the next question we were going to pose. And these questions are posed on Facebook, and that is, where does transformation in an individual's life come from? Is that something internal? Is that something, Pastor, as a preacher, you can make someone do? Where does that come from? And so your point is well taken, caller, that some people, if they make up in their mind that they want to be a hustler all their life, they want that quick fix and they want to get it like they live, you have to accept the fact that that's where they are. Everybody don't want to be saved, and everybody don't want to go to heaven. Therefore, everybody should not be expected to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you something. Some of this foolishness, the Lord himself ain't going to deal with, Pastor.
Well, yeah, she made a good point, too. I want you to understand what you're saying, Pastor, and I like that. But listen, she said that he was great, had grace. That means,
yeah,
that he's awesome.
Yeah, I heard that.
I think that's where she began. Now, remember this right here. Even though he may have been great, he still could have been, like, ignorant, not knowing any better.
Yeah,
And that's what I have to always remember, is that my assignment is to tell it. And see, sometimes, like, when people are dressed up, you know, you think everybody, like, I went to church one day and I thought everybody knew him because they was dressed
right.
up. But you know who know him, who know the Lord, and who does not know him. And so here's the situation that I'm in now. It's like I am persuaded now. I'm convinced now that I'm ready to preach the gospel to all of those, whether they are wise or unwise. You see, because I don't, my job is not to determine now who's wise and who's unwise. So it's a kind of tough situation that I'm in. But I noticed something earlier tonight. It says, "This people have I formed for myself." That's what the Lord is saying, that they should show forth my praise. And I'm like, how often do I show forth his praise? You know what I mean? Because, as you said, a person's mind could be made up and just don't want to hear nothing positive. I even had somebody say, "Don't nobody want to hear nothing about the Lord today." I've had people say things like that. And it's in the streets now. And this is in the streets. So I like, well, do I hold him because he don't want to hear me? You see? And that's the thing about how fast can you think the speed of thought, man, even though somebody says something like that. Because one moment they want to ask you, "Hey, what's the word for the day?"
Right.
And you politely let it be known, right? And then 2 weeks later, a month later, or however long, look here, I just walk around, hadn't said anything. And then somebody might say, "Don't nobody want to hear nothing about no Lord today." I was like, whoa, man, listen to that. So that's beautiful. So do I withhold because of that, or do I just put it out there? Huh?
How long
do you
stay down on the ground in the mud with somebody before you decide, oh, they love it down here, and I'm getting up?
How long does it take to find out that?
Yeah,
well,
how long did
that's
it
a good
for you to decide that I've done all I can for this individual, and it's time for me to move on?
Well, yeah, once you decide that, whether it takes however long it takes, you know, and that means that you might as well just forget about it because they're not trying to hear what you have to say. You say, how long does it take, man? And that's the thing about having an assignment. You know, some people got a job and don't want to go to work, but they go just the same. And and in this way of life, you know, I've experienced that. One time I had a job at Burt's Men's Store. You know, I never had a job. I never had to wake up and see what time I was going to go, you know, so I had to be productive in learning how to just first get up. And so I was on the job site and, you know, just doing the thing that was required. But I was always there. And it had nothing to do with whether I wanted to go or not. You know, this was my job, so I had to be there.
Right.
And the same thing is required now. When I was working for the devil, I had to work for him day and night, man, you know, for many, many years of my life. And everything that he told me to do, suggested that I would do, asked me to do, I would do it.
Right.
And so now, you know, to be able to have such an assignment now, man, it's very challenging, I'm telling you now, because once a week people go to church, and then after that day is gone, man, it's like, let's get back to the world's way. And
that's a tough situation. Let me stick with your analogy there, being at work.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you got off, right?
Yeah, exactly, right.
And if somebody came and knocked on the door after the store was closed, are you expected to serve them?
Well, not on that job, you know what I mean?
Okay.
On that job that only has required 8 hours. No, you know, you only have that 8 hours.
Right.
Yeah,
Follow where I'm going, brother Richard. I imagine the store posted their hours, and everybody that was a regular customer or new customer had information about when someone will be there to serve them or meet their needs as a customer.
That's right.
It's the same way in ministry. It's the same way in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Even
mm-hmm.
the writer says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Huh?
Uh-huh.
This notion
that
all you got to do is close your eyes and put your hands together and voila. Stop lying to yourself. See, preachers got to quit lying to folks. Huh?
Yeah, man. Get out of here.
If a man does not work, he don't eat.
That's
Jesus
correct.
Jesus told us
that's
about
correct.
What happened if a tree don't bear good fruit. Cut it down.
That's right.
Are y'all walking with
that's
me?
It.
Now, the
that's
truth
what he
is,
said now.
You got to tell people if you want to die, be about the business of dying. But if you want to live, let's be about the business of living. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah, it's have to be done, man. And that's where the work is continually. You know, it's ongoing. And as you say, some people have ears but not hearing. And then, you know, he said, let them have ears to hear, let them hear. And so if a person is shut down and got a closed mind and you've already said it, at least you put it out there. And that's the thing about ministry today, man. It's like,
yeah,
it's challenging.
Yeah.
It really is challenging, man. That's why
true.
I say go out on the street corner and preach the gospel to every creature, folks that's lost, because you never know who's really lost. Here this man is gray-headed. You would just love to believe that he had knowledge of God. And
right.
He could have been just as ignorant as I myself was. You know, I didn't know God until I was 34.
Right.
You know what I mean? I really didn't have a chance. And I mean, I thought I was grown, but I still didn't know God.
Okay.
But I didn't pretend
okay.
I could be it either. You know, and so that's it's a good thing to carry the message.
So,
the same.
Pastor, here's the thing. There are individuals who will manipulate God if they could.
Yeah,
all
they could. Sure
all they want to do is run a game. Now, it's important to know who those people are. One thing I found about the truth, and this is related to how. See, truth is closely related to a process. It don't change for nobody. If you know the truth, it will make you
free.
Now, watch what I said now. It's not a maybe, not a possibly, not a chance. That's guaranteed. Now, the question is, what is it about the truth that is so guaranteeing, that is so definitive?
Uh-huh.
And that is the fact that it's based in reality. If people say they want to be saved, they say they want to improve their
right.
life, they say they want to do better, and they're not operating in reality, and I, as a preacher, I'm not telling them and encouraging them to operate in reality, I'm doing them a disservice.
Uh-huh.
That blood is on
yeah,
my hands.
You know. That's right, man. I mean, that's one of the things that I love the most about the difference between, you know, choosing who you're going to serve. He said, choose you this
Watch
day
out.
Who you're going to serve. And
that's
he
right.
always give me that reminder. See, and I'm grateful for the reminder. I don't want to never forget where I came from because those 20 years I was so faithful and rain, sleet, or snow, I mean, I got the job done, man. I mean, as terrible
right.
as it sounds, and I know 37-2 is going to lift me up in a few minutes because I still feel bad today about all I've done in the past. You see what I'm saying? So,
okay.
so I just want to do the work of God today and don't be ashamed of the gospel because
right.
it is the good news. You see what I'm saying? And yes. personally, to hear good news, whether they like it or not, they need
yes,
to hear the good news. And it's not by force or anything.
No,
but it's just
no.
that when you have an assignment, it's like the mailman. When he dropped the mail off, he just dropped it and move on. You know, he didn't drop it and try to open your mail, you know. And it's challenging. Please, doing the work of God is challenging to me. I never thought, you know, coming over here on this side would be as challenging as it has become. You know what I mean? Sometimes you don't know when to say something or not. Should I not, and all that. When I was working for the devil, what no should I not? What none of that.
Okay,
I was a
yeah.
doer, you know, and a faithful one, too. That. So I was
okay.
glad to hear this topic tonight because he said the Lord is going to weigh up the spirit, man. My
yes.
goodness, just think.
Yes.
He weighed up and said, Ricky, you was ashamed of me.
Look,
you held
look,
back
bro,
on me. You didn't tell him the good news. Go ahead.
Look, bro, preacher, we can lie to ourselves,
uh-huh.
but God's going to weigh the truth out in us.
That's right,
huh?
man. And,
huh?
and I'm sure, yes.
We can convince ourselves or whatever we want to, but God's going to weigh the truth out.
Yeah. He sure is, man. And I'm sure he understands the tough times that we have sometimes. You ought to
yeah,
see me what I go
sure.
through sometimes. I hold back so much, 37-2. Look here, I'll be going to hold back and I think about how good God's been to me, man. You ought to see me. I'll be fighting. I mean, fighting just to tell us. Could you imagine? Fighting to tell the truth.
Yeah.
That's why he tells us the good fight of faith, you know.
Mm.
And I'm just glad for the topic tonight, believe me, because I would have got a little shaky had I thought about man, that scripture right there, I remember that scripture from years ago, and I just want to think about it as I look back. How often did I hold back the word of God when someone say, I heard him say this before, I don't want to hear that now, and did I hold back or did I go ahead and speak it? So, yeah, I like it.
Let me take a moment, Jerry Gregory. Thank you for tuning in with us there, and feel free to call us here, Miss Vera Finney, and Mr. R.J. Gilmore. Thank you all for tapping in with us here tonight. The number is 657-383-0944. There's still time. We have about 30 minutes left in our broadcast tonight, and we would love. I'd love to entertain your question or comment. Stay where you are. Don't think about leaving. We appreciate you being right where you are. But feel free to join us in our conversation tonight. We're talking from the topic, moving from what that is the problem to how that is the solution in 2018. Discussion about solution. That's what we're going to be doing moving forward throughout the year. Is talking about those things. So we're on with Pastor Ricky Waller, our co-host, our good friend and trusted co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, author of Steel High. And again, let me emphasize, you can find his book on our back page, on our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Simply go and click on the tab there, excuse me, that says Contact Us. And then you'll see the back store, and you'll find his book there, as well as other items that you can support our cause with by making a contribution. When you make your contribution of a certain denomination, we'll certainly get those gifts out to you. All right. Having said that, so let me pose this last question, and then we'll kind of move forward to the next 30 minutes here. But before we answer that question, before we start answering, I want to share another thought with you. The question is, who can save an individual that does not want to contribute to their own salvation? Now, I know we say that Jesus can save. And listen to what the mighty clouds of joy say. That's who can save a man or a woman who is not willing to make a contribution of their own salvation. Listen to this, guy. This can be confusing here, guys. Watch this.
Praise the Lord. God, good things. All the time. And all the time, God is.
Nobody can be saved for them. They can't save them. Only them and God can save them.
I thought Jesus came to set the captive free. I thought he shed his blood on Calvary.
He did.
Okay.
He did. He did. However, he didn't shed his blood for people to, man, just live and wallow in knowing and committed sin. I mean, that wasn't his purpose.
I see. So let me see if I can.
It was to wipe us. For you not to finish back again with the same,
Okay. Let me see if I can get Pastor Waller to help me wrap this around my mind like I'm 3 years old right quick. On the cross, there were two cats, Pastor Waller. One, both of them were thieves. Both of them were sentenced to die. But one of them got a free trip. Or did it? Was it free? One of them got a trip to heaven with Jesus. Did he have to put any work in?
Yeah, he put some in. He confessed.
Help me understand that, Pastor Dan, like I'm 3 years old.
Yeah, he confessed, man. You know what I mean? He humbled himself.
Watch it now.
Yeah, he humbled himself. Yes, he did.
So his investment in his salvation was recognizing who Jesus was. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, from what I heard, I mean, that's from what I heard, man. You know, the man made a confession, you know what I mean? In other words, he was trying to get another guy, speak for me, I'm going to speak for myself. You know,
watch out,
I'm getting ready to say something to you. Because it didn't take but a moment for his life to change. In a moment, that's how fast change can take place in a person's life. And
watch
he confessed. You know?
Watch out now.
And the words say, how can a person direct his own steps? You know what I mean? In other words, I'm going to lead my own self up into the kingdom. So that means, you know, you need some help. And he just confessed, you see.
Mm.
And that song you just brought forth says, order my steps in your word.
In your
word. And if I didn't know it,
that's right.
And I heard his word, and I took a chance, you know what I mean, at that point,
right.
You know, I think forgiveness took place in the guy's life. And that's what I think it happened, according to the word now.
Okay. Can I piggyback on what you're saying right quickly?
Oh, yeah.
Verse 3 of the 16th chapter of Proverbs says very clearly, commit, watch this, y'all.
That's good.
Commit.
Yes, right.
Thy work
yourself unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord. And thy thoughts shall be established. Now, watch this. I'm going to go back to that word, C-O-M-M-I-T. Guess what the prefix of commit infers or is related to come.
Go ahead.
Are y'all walking with
me?
It's almost like to commune. Come on, somebody.
If we don't bring ourselves
together with the word of truth, we can't be established in success. Can I say something to somebody tonight? You've got
to put
enough of energy in to make a commitment to your change and your forward progress. If you don't, guess what? You'll be stuck in a rut the rest of your life.
I mean, that's what you get. That's what you get.
That's it.
That's what the truth is. The truth is that's what you get. That's why he said, whosoever will, let him come. And that's
let
what they got
come.
On the cross. He made him come right up on the cross, you know, according to the scripture. That's why I thank God for that moment, man. It only takes a moment for a person's life to change, you know. And that's the beauty of when you have the sincerity and the genuineness of a person who have a heart to try to reach out to somebody, man. You know, that hurt 37-2 so much to the point where, man, it kind of just gave her a bad taste. And what I love about that is that she's so genuine and real, man, about what she and how she feels about people always trying to reach out and help. And I hadn't been known her very long by way of just on this broadcast, but man, she got a heart to always want to help somebody, and it kind of bothered her when she knew this man had all this gray, and then he was sitting up there trying to find a way to do something that was like unrighteous. And then we're talking about tonight about the Lord weighing up the spirit. Could you imagine?
Exactly.
You know, her name. Yeah, man. So, you know, I appreciate that great reminder of, you know, some people would see dollar signs and You know, that's why the OJs used to say, for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. And, you know, I just thank God that I have learned how to appreciate knowing to be content in whatever state I'm in, man, because it don't take but a moment for the enemy to slip in and throw something before you, and you fall
that's
for
right.
it.
There you go.
Man.
A distraction.
Man, she be so calm and cool with it, man. I'm talking about she don't know how much that helped me, man. For real.
No,
man.
But here is my thing. And, I mean, Pastor Waller just summed it up. So let's say that man got a big settlement.
Okay.
God
yeah.
done weighed it up. Just because
yeah.
you got a settlement don't mean that was
yeah.
in your best interest, fool. Your money
right.
is about
yeah.
to be gone,
right?
You probably going to overdose
right.
or hurt yourself or somebody else with it, right?
Man,
they
but you know,
they're getting over. And,
you
yeah.
know, 37, do you know what the real travesty that is? He wanted to use the police as an excuse to encourage destructive, counterproductive
yes.
behavior
yes.
in young
people. Yes, yes, yes.
See, so he even manipulated the young person that was guilty of the
yes.
crime. And
yes.
this is what happens in communities where there is a culture of criminality. You have people
yep.
who buy into criminal-type thought and behavior. And the
yep.
reason you can't talk to them is because, for them, that's their hustle. The idea
yeah.
of doing right and living according to the law, as you understand it, oh, no, I ain't going to do that because my hustle is built, is predicated on what? Criminality. It's the old Great Rome Muskie rascal, it sounds like you were describing.
Yeah, I was telling another one of my coworkers after, and I told her what happened. I'm like, yeah, and she's like, yeah, he just seems like he wants to be hurt. But I bet her, I told her, I will bet you my rent money that he don't have a job and he don't have insurance.
What?
Sure enough, when we looked at it, he didn't have no insurance, and he probably
hey,
didn't have a job. That's your life hustle. That's all you know how to do
is try to
get over as old and gray as you are now.
Right.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah, that temptation is mean.
Well, here's the thing. Now, there is a reason why jails are built, okay? Because, unfortunately, there are people who place their appetite for material wealth above the quality and the interest of other people's lives. And there's no limit to how far they'll go. There's no limit to how far they'll go. You know? And the truth of the matter is they have to be removed from normal folk so that they don't cause problems. Now, what's amazing to me is how older guys prey on younger people, male and female, because they realize society expects more of them, so they put some young person up to what? To do their dirty work.
Yeah.
I think that's the most egregious thing.
Yeah.
Tonight, this is Talk Straight. We're talking about moving from what? We know what our problems are to how. How are we going to solve them?
Mm-hmm.
That's what our discussions are centered around. And we got to shoot straight with one another now. I mean, maybe you can't take what we're talking about from the white man, quote unquote. What, Pastor Wally, you ain't the white man, are you?
Well, no.
And I sure ain't the white man.
No.
But I'm telling you the truth. That's going to make you free.
Then I tell you what, then maybe it needs to start being not black on black crime, but black on black war for life. So,
yeah.
You need to choose. Say which day on who you gonna serve. So am I gonna sit on this older man side and help corrupt the young people, giving them false truths and they doing wrong, or am I gonna stand up against them?
Right. I'll tell you it speaks to. I'll tell you what it speaks to, guys, and it's this: that the young people are salvageable. It's often the older generation that you first got to get, at least commit themselves to get out the way. You messed up your life. You done your thing. You live like you wanted to, right? You live life like it was golden. Well, okay. we're not going to count you out. We're not trying to destroy you, but at least get out of the way so that this next generation can be helped. They can be healed.
Sure.
They can be motivated. They
sure.
can be encouraged to do better. Whatever you did 30, 40, 50 years ago, that time is never going to come back again.
Yeah.
So get out of the way and allow us to at least bring somebody else. Is that unreasonable?
No.
No, it's not unreasonable. You know, just some things
I mean,
are just, you know, when one has been doing something for so long, Pastor, and I'm saying this, and very, very, very humble I am saying this here.
Okay.
To live for so long and become used to it, you know, it's just not easy to break. And
I understand.
The thing, it's a practice. You know, you don't even realize that you're practicing. So to be able to start practicing the truth that makes you free, you know, it's a job. And that's something that a person has to learn how to practice that, how to be content in whatever state that you're in. That was not easy for me. I lived a lie so long,
and that lie
was just so powerful on me. It took the Lord to help me to start practicing the truth. And that way, you know, I started to realize, man, it is showing up tough. I'm going to say this and turn it right back over. I remember when I stopped selling drugs, and then I was tempted. What happened, I went up there on Mamazon Road at this food place. I was getting ready to go buy me a plate lunch. And I went inside, man, and there was a guy. He didn't know nothing about how I got down. You know, he just probably heard about me or whatever it was. So he going in his pocket to pay for his food. Man, the man pulled a bankroll out so thick, and I had to fight in my pattern of thinking to be able to deal with that just seeing it, you know, because I had been without money for a little while at that point. You see what I'm saying? And I know how to get a bankroll myself, but then he's going to pull that bankroll out and then just seem like he was taunting me with it, you know. But God gave me strength to stand firm. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, that temptation is mean, man, if you don't have the knowledge and wisdom and the understanding and things like that. So when that man seen the opportunity, all he probably was thinking about, I can get some money. You know what I mean? Now, 37-2 was already positioned to give him some good news, you know, to uplift him and to, you know, to just share some good news with him. But he was already there. And as you said, you know, he may not even know that the Lord's going to weigh up whatever he has done in his life. And it's just good to practice righteousness today, you know, if you know about doing it. Yeah, just start practicing. You never know. You know, it's good for you.
I'm going to show y'all a secret, and y'all can't tell nobody, okay? You can't let nobody else know about it. Now, in my sweet tooth, my wife is always getting at me. You understand what I'm saying? And one day, 37-2, I was guilty. I felt, you know, I felt convicted, 37. Look, 37-2. I done snuck off, and I said, she ain't around. She ain't gonna know. But guess what? Guess what, 37-2? Something in my spirit told me, you know. You know what's
wrong.
Yeah,
man.
Put
that
donut down. At some point, if we ain't willing to do that, you understand what I'm saying? It's going to throw the dirt
on.
It's going to pack it up, and it's over with. You know, the old clock on the wall say that's all. Time to take 3 steps to the rear and get on out of here. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
So,
I agree.
Go ahead, 37-2.
I was going to say I agree with Pastor Waller there. When, I mean, yeah, those things, that lifestyle can be an addiction.
Sure.
But it's one thing. And guess what, Pastor Waller? You went a different route because in your heart of hearts, even though you were addicted, you knew that that wasn't right. You knew it wasn't. That's why you changed. That's why you heard God when he called, because you knew that it wasn't right. These people know this stuff ain't right, but they going to hold on to it. They going to defend it because they think it's easy. It's easy.
Right.
I can do this.
Right.
But it's hard to look at themselves in the mirror, to take a really true look at themselves and turn their life around. You a pimp, that's a true pimp right there.
That's true pimping right there. Turn your life around. Do something different. That's a false right there. That's beautiful.
That is awesome. I tell you, she's something. I tell you that. You know what? It's great. It's great to hear good information and to be able to recall. You know, I like Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. You know, I always speak about it, and this I recall to my mind. Therefore, have I hope, and that's what a hope is. Is knowing that you know you can practice this way of life. You know, this is the newness of life.
Yeah.
And that's the tough part about it. You know, getting started. You know what I mean? Because that one more, let me do it one more time. That right there starts flaring up, and all of a sudden you say, okay, I'll do it one more time. No, not with me. You know, I know he's going to weigh mine up, and I just cannot handle it. I know I can't handle it. I'm not going to take a chance. I've taken many chances in my life, but I'm not going to take no chances on going back to nothing I used to do. No way.
And you're probably right.
You
reminded me of the text in Proverbs, the 20th chapter and the 27th verse, I believe it said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and it searches the inward parts of the belly. See, we can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. Because it is the spirit of God that is within you that even our negative drives, are y'all walking with me?
Yeah.
Even our negative drives, you can run, but you can't hide. You know? So,
that's right.
Point well taken, man.
I mean, and I just feel like with these negative or the people that's not living right, nobody is judging them that they are not living right. I'm judging, and what makes me upset and sickens me is when you know you're not doing right and you're not even trying to do anything different. That's right. And
that's
you, on top of that, you are going and you ministering negative, devilment, foolishness. You know, you inbreeding other people, children, even.
Exactly. That's real.
So 32, I hear people often say, judge that you not be judged. The truth is, whatever I do, I'm making it personal now, whatever I do in the sight of others, those actions cause others to weigh and make a judgment about how I appeal to them, who I am,
that's right,
and what I'm about. Now, if Pastor Waller, if I don't want nobody to see me bug naked, I better stay in the house until I put some clothes on. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Right.
Yes, right.
Huh?
They sure gonna judge you when you see it. They sure gonna judge you.
What do you mean by that, Pastor?
And there's nothing wrong with it. It's called good judging. The Bible says if you're gonna favor from this God and man, you know.
Right.
And never trust in yourself, but you know you have good judgment.
Come on now. Come on now.
Yeah.
Now 3072, I can secretly try to dress with my shirt open, showing my chest hairs because I'm trying to bring attention from some people. But watch this. Don't let me get caught. Because it's going to be some repercussions.
Yeah.
Bernie Mac used to say, it's going to be a misunderstanding every time I see you. we laugh at certain truth into reality here, and that is what we do is reflective of what's in us. Now, sometimes people do things unconsciously. In other words, they don't fully understand the full ramifications of their actions. And we make allotments for small children. But when you great grown and musty, stop that mess. Go sit down somewhere and get out the way.
Yep.
Get on out the way.
Yep.
The worst thing than a fool is an old fool, because an old fool had plenty of time to get his act together.
What is an old fool? Anybody over the age of 25, 30, 40, 50, you need to sit your butt down somewhere. Go get a shovel and dig your own grave and lay in it.
Wait a minute. No, wait.
Oh, my God.
We ain't going to put him in a grave
they gonna put themselves there. They gonna put themselves there.
Lord have mercy.
They gonna
Okay.
Right. Dead in sin. You know, you can be dead in sin each and every day.
Yeah,
once upon a time was walking around dead as can be.
That's right.
And
they just a walking corpse, a walking corpse.
Wow. Okay, listen, Pastor Waller done played with the clock again. You need to stop that in 2018 now, man. Make that your New Year's resolution, please.
Not again.
Listen, we're under 5 minutes here to go. Let me just stop for a second, recognize again our Facebook friends. I understand if you just want to listen and be a participant observer. Thursday, I intend to have a rather stirring conversation. Now, it's a lot going on, and the problem for me is grown folk are messing up for these babies. I'm going to talk about it, Pastor Waller. I'm just going to put it out there right now. Get yourself ready.
Okay.
Because we're going to intimate why the babies can't do no better. I don't know if you work and tell your friends and your enemies to check it out, because they need to understand what's stopping the babies from growing.
All right.
Wow. My goodness.
The answer is going to tell us how to do better. Now, if somebody told get stepped on, just holler out. And then say, I want to do better. Huh?
Yeah, I surrender. I surrender would be good enough.
What do you say, Pastor? I surrender.
I surrender to the solution. Yes, sir. Ready for the solution. That's it.
This has been Talk Straight, and we've been talking from the thought. Moving from what to how in 2018. These are discussions this year we want to engage in real solutions. If you have a concept, you have an idea you want to bring, you want to be a guest on that show, give me a call, 615-498-4669, or email me at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. We would love to talk with you and bring you on. Pastor Ricky Waller has been with us, and he continues to be with us. Thank you. 3072, God bless you for joining us tonight. Mm-hmm. And all of our friends on Facebook that have followed us, we hope you have found this to be useful and informational. I'm going to leave with Pastor Waller, one of Pastor Waller's favorite songs by Tremaine Hawkins.
Oh, my.
And it's simply titled Change. A change is going to come. Is that right, Pastor?
That's what it is. I love that.
Change.
Thank you for the reminder.
Yes, sir. It's 2018. We ain't going to do what we did last year. We got to make a change.
Yes, sir.
But thank
God
you.
God bless you both.
Thank you very much.
Likewise.
Yes, sir. Please join us at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time right here on Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we'll be back at that time. We're going to figure out why the babies can't do no better. All right.
Praise God.
Thank you.